Several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me.
At the end of last year, much to the delight of many wine drinkers, Wine Enthusiast magazine bestowed the title of Wine Country of the Year on the state of New York. It was cause for tremendous celebration, but that celebration is being stifled by a very serious issue that's arisen in the Empire State that many believe poses a serious threat to one of its most important and beautiful wine regions. While we generally like to keep things pretty lighthearted here on Grape Encounters Radio, I'd be remiss in not bringing this issue to your attention because, as far as I'm concerned, I believe wine drinkers are one big happy family. Unfortunately, the folks up in the Finger Lakes region of New York are far from happy because they're dealing with a situation that's very troubling, and many who never dreamed of being activists are being arrested, yep, arrested, on a regular basis because they desperately want to stop the government from allowing business from outside of the region from creating what many believe to be a danger to their wine and tourism industry, and more importantly, the safety and health of their residents. So joining us today on Grape Encounters Radio is a winemaker who's assumed a lead role in trying to prevent what some believe is the inevitable. He's Will O'Lean, owner of historic Oneida and Eagle Crest vineyards in the Finger Lakes wine country. And I think the best thing to do is let Will tell you exactly what's going on. Hey, Will, welcome to Grape Encounters Radio.
Thank you, David. Greetings. The Finger Lakes has been a wine-producing region in America for over 150 years. Today, California is known as the preeminent producer of wine in the country, but winemaking in America really had its start in New York State. And our winery, Oneida Vineyard and Eagle Crest Vineyards, has been at it for about 143 years.
That's making, awesome.
Making wines, usually out of Labrusca grapes, but over the last 30 or 40 years, we've had a revolution, and we're focusing on premium vinifera production, Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Franc. And life was great, especially culminating with the Wine Enthusiast recognition of all of New York State as the International Wine Region of the Year for 2015, followed up just a week or so ago by the Finger Lakes being chosen the number one wine tourist destination in the world.
That is so awesome. But now there is something percolating underneath the Earth's surface, let's just say, that really is a huge threat to you guys. And just explain what's going on there.
Quite literally. So in our neighbors to the south in Pennsylvania and our neighbors to the west in Ohio, they've been experiencing a huge boom of gas production through high-volume hydraulic fracturing, and they need a place to store all of that surplus gas. And they've chosen the Finger Lakes of New York as the next gas station storage hub for all the fracked gas in the Northeast.
You know, that makes zero sense. It makes absolutely zero sense. Anybody that's ever in the daytime flown across the United States knows that most of our country is barren, you know, for the most part, that most of the population is concentrated in big cities. Why in the world would they choose a place that is as pristine and productive as the Finger Lakes to deposit what they don't want?
That is the double gold medal winning question, David.
Yeah.
We wonder that ourselves. And unfortunately, for going on the last two or three years now, the Finger Lakes wine businesses and the farmers, the vineyardists, the bed and breakfast, the restaurateurs, all of the professors at Cornell and Hobart and William Smith College and other prestigious institutions, we've all been asking ourselves, ourselves the same question. And yet, in October this past year, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approved storing 2 billion cubic feet of natural gas in the abandoned salt caverns right on the shores of Seneca Lake, which, among other things, is a drinking supply for 100,000 people. And right next to it, they want to store explosive propane and butane gas in abandoned salt caverns. And in our past in the Finger Lakes, we have had some gas stored there. But the companies that did that left, and they moved across the street, and they built lined rock caverns to store the gas. And Crestwood Midstream, the current Texas-based company that's attempting to redevelop these salt caverns, has come in, and to everyone's surprise, they've succeeded in securing one permit from the feds and have been lobbying strongly the State Department of Environmental Conservation to allow them to do what they plan going down the road.
It's a complete and total disgrace. It's absolutely disgraceful. And, you know, who is it that we can pin the blame on at the federal level?
That's the question. And the problem is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, otherwise known as FERC.
FERC, that sounds perfect.
An unelected and therefore unaccountable bureaucracy of the federal government that answers to no one. And they're known to be an organization that approves every project and never repeals any permit, no matter what. And we've appealed to the federal senators, Schumer and Gillibrand. Senator Schumer is certainly a senior member of the Senate, and he's been deaf to our concerns, and no one in Washington has come to our aid, so much so that a group of people called We Are Seneca Lake have started blockading the gate. And from the day construction was supposed to begin to the present, over 200 of us, myself included, have blockaded the gates to keep the construction vehicles from going down into the salt caverns, and we've been arrested for it.
So you're demonized for trying to protect not only a very historic area, but an area that contributes a tremendous amount to the New York economy. Crazy.
It's crazy. And every year, more and more Finger Lakes wineries have been opening up. We're just recently celebrating news that Paul Hobbs, the renowned winemaker, sort of the Steve Jobs of winemaking.
Yeah, from out here.
In some quarters, a California boy. He's a New York native. And with Johannes Selbach of the Mosel in Germany, they've bought 65 acres and are going to do a world-class Riesling production facility here. You may know of Louis Barol, the genius of Gigandas in the Rhone Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
He is partnering with two fellows to form Forge Cellars and to do beautiful Bordeaux and Burgundy style reds. We're getting the best winemakers from around the world realizing that the appellation of the Finger Lakes is hot and affordable, and yet across the shores directly from Selbach and Hobbs Place, their vineyard, they're going to see flare stacks, 60-foot flare stacks, compressor stations.
That'll be beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yeah.
We're talking to Will O'Lean. He is the owner of Oneida Vineyards and Eagle Crest Vineyards in the Finger Lakes region of New York, more specifically at Hemlock Lake in New York. And I think the first thing that you guys ought to do is send a couple of bottles of that Riesling that President Obama served at his inauguration that came from the Finger Lakes with a note saying, kiss it goodbye.
That's right. That was the Tierce Riesling produced by Fox Run Vineyards,
yep,
Red Newt Vineyards, and Anthony Road, three members of our newly formed Finger Lakes Wine Business Coalition. I do know that when Governor Cuomo had the foresight on health issue concerns to ban hydraulic fracturing in New York State, I did send him a bottle of our No Fracking Way Red, our No Fracking Way White, our No Fracking Way Blush. And just the other day, I received a handwritten thank you note from the governor, so I know they were received.
No, I saw that. No Fracking Way. I love it.
That was my final act of desperation. My No Fracking Way White, I think, has won 6 double gold medals at the San Francisco International over the years. And so I rebranded my best wines to really bring attention to the matter.
I totally love it. Well, listen, we're going to have on in just a moment Joe Campbell, and he is one of the founders of Gas Free Seneca.
That's correct. That's the original organization that began to organize the local community and inform them about the matters relative to this planned gas storage. He's a volunteer. He's completely devoted his life and the life of his sweetie. I think all they do now is volunteer to fight this effort begrudgingly, because they'd rather be sitting deckside enjoying the bucolic views of the hills of Seneca Lake instead of contemplating what the flare stacks are going to do to their life.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this kind of garbage in America has got to stop. And one of the great pleasures that we have in this country is drinking wine, and we make the best fracking wine
right,
you know, in the world these right. days. And to take that away from us or to threaten that in any way, shape, or form is just not acceptable to this show. And I'm going to just urge, beg, plead our listeners, no matter where you are, to write Governor Cuomo and, you know, write the president as well.
Absolutely. This is really a David versus Goliath battle of the modern day. There couldn't be an idea more absurd put on the table, and yet we're losing ground.
Oh, no. We're going to come out there, Will. That's it. We're coming with microphones in hand, and I don't care if I get arrested. That's it.
It's only a violation, so it's no more than a parking ticket at this point, David. So you're welcome, and I'll make sure that you find your way around, and we need all the help we can at this point to fight this, because today it's the Finger Lakes, tomorrow it could be Napa Valley.
It's unbelievable. Will you pay my bail?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can say that uncategorically, because we already have raised money for the Seneca Lake Defenders, a bail and bond fund, and we also pay any fines that you might incur.
So listen, if people want to check out your wines, your website is what?
My website for Oneida and Eagle Crest, very simple, purewineonline.com.
You're not going to be able to call it Pure Wine for much longer.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Will, it's been so nice talking to you. We're going to jump on the line next with Joseph Campbell and get a little more information, but you can count on our support. We'll talk it up, and maybe we'll put a banner on our website that says No Fracking Way.
Beautiful. Wine lovers of America, unite.
Okay. We'll be back with Dr. Joe Campbell in just a moment on Grape Encounters.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
We like to talk about wine.
Wine is fragile, especially good red wine, and it can go south in a matter of hours. And even the very best preservation devices will only buy you a short amount of time, usually a few days or a week at best. Well, sometimes that may be enough, but there are definite limits and risks, and every wine will respond differently. But now there's a surefire way to preserve your wine indefinitely. It's the revolutionary Coravin. The Coravin allows you to take wine out of the bottle without uncorking it. Inert argon gas is injected into the bottle through a small needle inserted into the cork. The gas goes in, the wine comes out, and your pricey Cabernet remains pristine. The Coravin is truly the most significant advancement in wine drinking since the grape. Learn how to get yours at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste, so check out the Coravin at grapeencounters.com.
As a Grape Encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
If you have a thirst for wine knowledge, be it trivia or the latest trends, there's a website that's overflowing with content that we've created just for you. It's grapeencounters.com, where you'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of stories and interviews covering almost every topic imaginable. From the world's most colorful and renowned winemakers to unforgettable wine adventures, there's something for every wine lover at grapeencounters.com. Go ahead, log on, uncork, pour, swirl, and sip.
Money may not buy happiness, but it will buy you some very good wine. And if that doesn't make you happy, you need to be listening to a self-help show, not Grape Encounters Radio. Grape Encounters Radio continues.
I know we've come a long way. We're changing day to day. Tell me, where do the children play?
Back with Grape Encounters Radio and taking on a pretty big political issue today. With us now is Joseph Campbell, founder of Gas Free Seneca. And, you know, if you want to get something straightened out in America, you maybe need to hire a chiropractor. And that was his prior career, but now he's an activist. Welcome, Joseph.
Well, thank you for having us on, David.
So can you get this thing straightened out? You're going to need some help.
Yeah, we could use the help we can get. We've got a multi-billion-dollar Houston, Texas-based oil and gas corporation trying to repurpose these unlined old abandoned salt caverns, 50, 60, 70 years old, some of them, to hold pressurized liquid propane and liquid butane and natural gas. And this is just insane, if you ask me. Thanks for reaching out across this great country to our neck of the woods.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I really want to see everybody that's listening to this show. We have a lot of winemakers and vineyard owners that listen to Grape Encounters. Come on, folks, just jump in. No matter where you are, you need to lend support to these guys. They're in big trouble out there. And this is one of the biggest tragedies going on in this country right now, and totally preventable. That's the worst part. You know, why would they choose such an important tourist destination and important wine production region when there's desert all over the place? Find a cavern there.
That's right. You know, we wouldn't wish this on anybody, David, actually. Yeah, you're right. This is Seneca Lake. This is the largest body of fresh water solely within New York State's borders, 4.2 trillion gallons. I'm sure your listeners out in California have a pretty good idea of how important good water supply is.
We'd like to actually have some.
Well, we'll build a pipeline and ship some out to you. But it's 4.2 trillion gallons of fresh water. It's
wow.
Drinking water for 100,000 people. And the wineries depend on the clean water, the clean air, to produce what have become world-class wines. You know, 30 years ago, people put their nose up at Finger Lakes wines. Now we've got, you know, these international figures coming here producing world-class, you know, 90, 92-point scores on Wine Spectator. This is just a really, really bad place for this.
So what really can be done? What is going to be the silver bullet?
The biggest problem is that they want to store these highly pressurized, very volatile gases, propane and butane, enormous amounts, you know, millions of barrels, nearly 100 million gallons in the first phase of the project.
Oh, man.
And Seneca Lake has a problem with salinity. It's already salty. It's 5 times saltier than the other Finger Lakes. And we believe that pressurizing these caverns is contributing to the saltiness of the lake. And we're very concerned that at some point the lake could become undrinkable.
Wow. Amazing. And what are the possibilities in terms of there being a cataclysmic event because this gas is being stored this way?
There are problems with the geology over there, faults, fissures, you know, cracks in the rock, basically. In fact, there's a strike slip fault that runs north and south right through the middle of these caverns. And about a year and a half ago, there was a small 2.0 magnitude earthquake roughly 13 miles north of this facility right along that fault line. So you put, you know, 88.2 million gallons of liquid propane and butane in these salt caverns, and something like that happens again, and that gas escapes. Well, propane turns into a heavier-than-air, dense vapor cloud, and the slightest spark could ignite it.
Wow.
It flows downhill, captured by the basin of the lake, and, you know, somebody goes to light a cigarette and kaboom.
That's it. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a very different way to catch fish.
Yeah, the old days they used to drop sticks of dynamite. Right?
Yeah, exactly. We just blow up the whole darn lake instead. Where can people go to lend their support?
Our website is gasfreeseneca.com, and we've got all of our expert reports on there. We've got a description of the project, and we have contact information for Governor Cuomo, who's New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, is going to make the ultimate decision on this. You know, we can ask Governor Cuomo, please preserve the Finger Lakes. We also have a donate button if anybody feels generous and would like to donate. You know, we have pro bono legal help from Earth Justice. However, we're gearing up for a legal proceeding. We have a number of expert witnesses. They're very expensive. And just get the word out.
Absolutely. So I know that there's got to be somebody listening to this show right now that's got an extra $1 million. So how cool would it be just to go on that site, hit the donate button, donate $1 million to Gas Free Seneca? The wine business in America today is one of the few industries that has not faltered through all the tough economic times. It really is a source of great revenue and pride for this country. I should also say recreation as well. And we all need to join in on this effort. New York deserves it. And I think it's time that we go beyond our own borders and try to help out people who are being subjected to this kind of abuse. Because as Martin Luther King once said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And this is a huge injustice.
And think to yourself what you would like to have us do if somebody decided to plunk one of these things down in the middle of the Sonoma or Napa Valleys.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to send you guys some money. You guys have to build a pipeline and send us some water, okay? Because we need that out in California.
I think there was a proposal to pump some of the Great Lakes water out there. But
yeah, there you go. But don't send us any natural gas. We don't need it.
They can build a KXL pipeline to ship, you know, tar sands oil all the way across the country. They can certainly build a pipeline and send you folks some water.
Yeah, by the way, I think this project, if I heard correctly, creates less than 10 jobs.
Yeah, 8 to 10 jobs where the wine industry and, you know, all the ancillary businesses around here, the bed and breakfast, the restaurants, the motels, the hotels.
Yeah, exactly.
They employ thousands, tens of thousands of people. The wine industry in New York is a $4.8 billion industry, and 3/4 of that is generated here in the Finger Lakes. So it's not chump change, you know?
And, no, and it's not.
This project's going to employ 8 to 10 people, they say, and a few $100,000 in property taxes to the county and the town, and no other benefit. So we're taking all the risk. We're getting none of the benefit. The propane, butane's not even going to be used here in the Finger Lakes. You know, it's all going to be shipped out.
Really nice. That's fantastic. Joseph, we appreciate you being on.
Yes, thanks an awful lot, David, and I look forward to seeing you when you come out here.
All right, we're going to put links to all of your websites on the Grape Encounters website. So if you don't remember the web links, then just go to grapeencounters.com, and we'll be back with more Grape Encounters. Stay with us. This is David Wilson, and I want you to sail with me from Rome to Barcelona on one of the most luxurious cruise ships in the world, the completely reimagined Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Every year, I take listeners on a luxury voyage sure to create unforgettable memories. And next May, from the 10th to the 17th, our itinerary will include some of my favorite places on the planet. And I'll be there to make sure that your travel experience is purely amazing. Imagine visiting incomparable Rome, Florence, Portofino, Provence, and breathtaking Barcelona. The ports will be spectacular, and your elegant suite with a private patio will astound you. Book now and get 2-for-1 fares, free round-trip air, $200 shipboard credit, plus you pay nothing extra for wine, cocktails, shore excursions, even tips are included. I've got a luxury cabin with your name on it.
As a Grape Encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
Nestled between world-class Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo wine countries, the warm and inviting city of Atascadero is the humble heart of the Central Coast. With access to endless wine country adventures, including wine and olive oil tasting tours, artisan farm experiences, food, wine, and cultural events, historic Atascadero's cozy and oh-so-friendly atmosphere make it the perfect home base for Central Coast tourists. Discover more about the heart of the Central Coast at visitatascadero.com.
The days of wine and roses, life and run away like.
And we're back with Grape Encounters Radio, and whenever it gets around Valentine's Day, it is essential to call upon the knowledge of Amy Riley. She is the author of Romancing the Stove. She is the world's leading expert on the aphrodisiac qualities found in wine and food. You can just ask her. Amy, it's been a long time since we've sat down and talked.
Hi. I'm a little disappointed here.
About what?
You said we're going to have a nice conversation. Does that mean I don't get to pick on you today?
I believe you just did.
Oh, okay.
I believe that you just did. No, you can pick on me all you want.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that you're a kinder, gentler Amy Riley now that you are with child.
I'm not. Well, you're with child.
The child is over there, and you're right here, so
yes.
You're with the child, although he does not get to talk on the radio today. And proof positive, by the way, that your advice works.
Well, you know, it's kind of true. Actually, when I was writing my first cookbook, I had this male friend, and I kept inviting him over to have the leftovers when we were testing recipes because I had all this food and I knew he couldn't cook. And, well, he's Charlie's father now, my baby's father. And then when I was working on Romancing the Stove, we've been trying to have a baby for a while. And guess what?
So first of all, it works both ways. You see this in movies a lot where the guy is the one who's pouring the wine, pouring the liquor, and guys get accused of, you know, that sort of thing. But a woman can do it just as easily, right?
As successfully. I wasn't doing it on purpose. By the way, the book worked.
It's not about getting somebody intoxicated. I want to say that right now. There's a difference between being intoxicated and losing your inhibitions and being put into the right frame of mind because everything around you is just so good. The food, the smells,
the wine. Oh, it's a slippery slope, though. I've seen it. Now, come on. It's a slippery slope.
All right, so let's first of all talk about Valentine's Day.
Another day to remind those of us that are alone that we are still alone.
You probably, I'm guessing, get more calls and attention during this time of year than any other time of year, right?
I feel a little like Santa at Christmas, yes.
This is the big holiday for you.
This is it.
Like, what kind of calls do you get?
I get a lot of wonderful opportunities this time of year. Everything from partnering with hotels on Valentine's packages, working with amazing chefs to help them develop their menus, book signings, radio interviews like this one, television. It's a really exciting time of year, really.
So a restaurant will actually call you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll want you to help them coordinate the menu because they're looking for what?
Well, they're looking to create a menu and an atmosphere that is truly aphrodisiac, as opposed to, you know, throwing together a menu that sounds like a lot of decadent food. And usually, quite often, I will steer chefs away from the decadent foods. They want people to have a genuine, romantic, aphrodisiac kind of experience. If you serve someone steak and Duchess potatoes, what are they going to want to do? Go home and have a nap, not go home and have a little romance. So, you know, I work with chefs on menus that have some aphrodisiac legitimacy.
That's the number one mistake that people make, don't they? When it comes to wine, food, and romance, is to go too heavy.
People will be inclined to lay on all of the decadence, you know, the cream sauce, the truffles, the steak, and that's really not going to work so well.
And I don't want to make it sound like it's all about rolling in the hay. There are lots of couples out there who are young couples who maybe have not reached that stage in life,
right.
But the idea of just feeling more attractive,
mm-hmm.
and attracted, and
right.
just having a warmer, fuzzier experience is something that can be really manipulated to some degree by what you eat and what you drink.
It really can. And also keep in mind, you want to eat a meal that makes you feel energized. You don't really want to have a meal that makes you feel heavy. You're going to feel more attractive. You're going to feel more amorous, you know, if you have something that's kind of balanced. And that's where I come in.
So let's talk about the wine aspect of it for a moment. What is too over the top in terms of wine and what's just right?
Well, you know what I'm going to say. I always recommend
Lovely.
A glass. Glass of bubbly.
Right. First time I ever met you, I went into your secret kitchen,
yes.
test kitchen,
yes.
and I didn't get 4 feet through the door before I had a glass of bubbly in my hand.
Well, the great thing about sparkling wines and champagnes, and the reason that I recommend them, is because you can have a small amount and get that sort of giddy, party, festive feeling. And quite often, once that feeling hits, you are kind of disinclined to overindulge. Whereas with a glass of red wine, where it's higher in alcohol,
okay,
it might
wait. Why is that? Is it the bubbles start to fill you up? Is that what's happening?
Not only do the bubbles fill you up, but they hit your bloodstream quickly and you feel the effects of the alcohol and you feel it with a bit of giddiness. And so you know that you're feeling this alcohol. You're conscious that you've had a bit of alcohol. It helps you to, you know, you kind of can go, I've had maybe enough. Whereas when it's kind of sneaking up on you with your big red wine and you're 3 glasses in and then you suddenly go, ooh, I probably shouldn't have had glass number 3.
But doesn't that big red wine kind of slow you down? It does me.
Okay.
You know, it's like I'm going to sip it very slowly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on how big that
red
wine is.
Not everybody is like me,
mm-hmm.
but I take my time with the big red wine.
Certainly there are like some of those, you
That's
know,
a song
some of those
lyric.
Big, yes, I got you. Some of those big Zinfandels where they kind of drink like a meal. Yeah, absolutely. I think most people take them slow. But, you know, say your average Napa cab, sometimes it'll just sneak up on you.
Now, the thing that I think would be interesting to most people is the fact that that red wine, which sneaks up on you and takes its time, is going to be significantly higher in alcohol
exactly.
than that glass of champagne
yep.
that's going to hit you upside the head.
Right. Right.
And it's all about bloodstream.
Yes, the fact that you get that kind of giddy, kind of tipsy sometimes feeling from the champagne is because of the bubbles and how they'll hit your bloodstream quickly.
Do you know what the physiology of that is? Why that happens? Or should we save that for a doctor?
We should save that for a doctor. I have read it and I do kind of understand it, but I don't want to misspeak. So,
okay, so we're talking to Amy Riley. She is the author of Romancing the Stove. I want to mention your website as well because there's a tremendous amount of information there, not just about wine, but food as well.
Absolutely.
And romance in general. It is
eatsomethingsexy.com.
That's easy to remember. Eatsomethingsexy.com, which actually years ago I discovered the website and I wrote you.
Yes.
Because I was so intrigued with that and the whole aphrodisiac quality in wine and food subject.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this ever since.
Yes, and it's so easy to remember. Even you can spell it.
Eat something sexy?
Yes.
My guest, Amy Riley, who is the author of Romancing the Stove. I am your host, David Wilson. I am not nearly as good at these things as Amy is. In fact, you know, maybe it's a little self-deprecating, Amy, but I really consider myself a loser when it comes to getting this right. Because no matter how hard I work on the ambience and the atmosphere, there's still one thing that I can't control.
Which is the woman?
No, what comes out of my mouth. I can do the right things. I can cook the right things. I can pour the right wine, but sometimes I just say the wrong
things.
There's no filter. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Well, you're doing pretty well with radio. Your audience loves you, so just embrace them all.
Well, I'm like that poor loser in the movies, you know, the guy that people feel sorry for. But actually, no. You know what? I've been very fortunate. I've had a good life and have good friends. I just sometimes say the wrong things. I'm much more careful on the radio. I think it's just that when I get off the radio, then it's sort of like taking your shoes off and putting your feet up. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Keep your feet on the floor next time.
Not in my mouth.
Right.
Right. All right. So a moment ago, we were talking about restaurants and the fact that chefs will contact you and mm-hmm. ask you for some advice in developing menus. And there's no question that if you were to go from restaurant to restaurant right now today and look at what they're offering up for Valentine's Day, we're talking heavy, 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 decadent. You're going to be so full. The only thing you want to do is go home, take your clothes off, and groan like a pig.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Yes. Unfortunately, it happens way too often. Yeah.
And then there's the whole dessert thing, which is where they really get carried away. And it's those flippant strawberries dipped in chocolate, which, frankly, I can't stand. Don't send me those.
Okay. I won't send you those.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I have no issue with them.
Here's one of my issues with them. Half the time they were made 3 days before, the strawberry is now shriveling up in the chocolate. I think it'd be nice like if at a restaurant they had a bowl of piping hot chocolate and you could dip it right there. That would be good. But the pre-made
I once worked with a restaurant where we developed a dessert. It was the take-home dessert. It was a little box of chocolate that you could, melted chocolate, that you could heat up, warm up a little bit at home, and a bowl of berries. And so at the end of your meal, you wouldn't have dessert in the restaurant. You'd take that home with you as your Valentine treat.
What about maybe, I mean, you're a mother, you've got a child.
Yes.
What about like baby bottles that have chocolate and maybe caramel, and then a bowl of fruit?
Is
that too weird?
First of all, there's nothing romantic about it. If you've ever had a child, there's nothing romantic about a baby bottle.
Okay, well, it was just an idea. Okay, let's talk about wines, first of all. You are a big fan of bubbly. I don't know why this is. Honestly, I don't have an explanation for this. I just know that there are a lot of Proseccos out there. We've talked about this before. For whatever reason, it seems like if I just pick that up and serve that to guests, they seem to just love it. And I don't know why there is such a difference. People who don't even like champagne seem to like Proseccos. And they like California sparklers as well. And there is a difference in the flavor of these wines. Against Proseccos?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first of all, the reason that I don't like Prosecco is the process by which it's made, I do not enjoy. It's a textural thing. It's made more in the style of 7-Up than in the style of champagne.
But look how popular 7-Up is.
I'm not saying it's not popular, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your choice. I mean, there's nothing wrong.
It's not a question of it being my choice. It's a question of me observing what's going on out there, seeing a lot of it for sale, and seeing people pretty happy about it. people are enjoying this product. They're enjoying Moscatos like crazy. There are a lot of real interesting choices that are not as expensive as what used to be out there, and people are having fun with it.
And as they should.
Okay. Cavas, just, perhaps?
Yeah,
better idea?
I love cavas. I love American sparkling wine. I love Australian sparkling wine. You know, you name it. If it has bubbles, for the most part. If it has bubbles that were naturally created in the bottle, not added by a human process, I love it.
And you can find that out real quick, whether it's artificially carbonated or naturally carbonated.
It's called Charmant method, and it will say it on the bottle. That's traditionally how Prosecco is made. It simply is, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't enjoy it.
Okay, but something sparkling is a must. If not, what else?
Ooh. You know, I would recommend sticking with maybe lower alcohol wines. Pinot Noirs tend to be a little lower in alcohol if you're looking for reds, especially if they're from Burgundy. It's a colder region, and therefore the grapes don't get as ripe, and therefore you don't get as much alcohol. So that's a great choice. Rieslings can be very romantic.
Those musty German Rieslings. Those are powerful.
Those are sexy.
Those are sexy.
Oh, yeah.
They are absolutely delicious. And wipe the bottle off, you know.
Please, wipe the bottle off, and then it's pretty sexy.
Yeah, because some of those, you know, they almost taste like they've been covered in, you know, sort of a nice kind of dust and mold for a while. But I like that flavor that you get from certain European wines, that sort of old cellar taste that you don't necessarily get in California wines.
Right, yes, yeah.
Okay,
so I would have called it maybe more something on the in the barnyardy pasture kind of. But yeah.
When she says barnyardy, she's talking about what you find in the horse corral. Just for those who don't know what barnyard means.
No, I mean, you know, some sweet hay and a little dust and, you know.
I know. Barnyard. I grew up on a horse ranch. You do hear the description barnyard. And that's what it's talking. It's that smell in the corral, which is a mixture of dirt, hay.
Clay.
Also.
Something else.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Byproducts of hay. That's it.
Sure.
What you can do is you can go online and you can check out everything that Amy's talked to us about today and a whole lot more. It's eatsomethingsexy.com. If they want to find the book, well, they can find the book there, right?
You can find the book there, yes.
Okay, Amy, I appreciate it. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
Nothing.
Okay, all right. Special thanks to my guest, Amy Riley. Do yourself a favor. Eat something sexy today.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I love you, infinity.
That's not enough.
Are you sure you're not an alien? Because you just abducted my heart.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, centrally located in the Central Coast wine country of California.
Wine is fragile, especially good red wine, and it can go south in a matter of hours. And even the very best preservation devices will only buy you a short amount of time. Usually a few days or a week at best. Well, sometimes that may be enough, but there are definite limits and risks, and every wine will respond differently. But now there's a surefire way to preserve your wine indefinitely. It's the revolutionary Coravin. The Coravin allows you to take wine out of the bottle without uncorking it. Inert argon gas is injected into the bottle through a small needle inserted into the cork. The gas goes in, the wine comes out, and your pricey Cabernet remains pristine. The Coravin is truly the most significant advancement in wine drinking since the grape. Learn how to get yours at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste, so check out the Coravin at grapeencounters.com.
As the host of a wine show based on the Central Coast of California, a lot of visiting friends and listeners ask me for suggestions about places to visit in this neck of the woods. Well, one place that is always on that list is Hammersky Vineyard and Tasting Room, just 15 minutes northwest of Templeton on Vineyard Drive. From the beautiful New England barn to the charming historic farmhouse to the warm and inviting tasting room that sits on a knoll overlooking one of the region's most breathtaking views, Hammersky is a must-visit destination. Hammersky features an outstanding selection of handcrafted wines that are a true reflection of its rare and beautiful setting. Enchanting, sexy, sophisticated, but very approachable. See what I mean online at hammersky.com. Then plan a trip to one of the crown jewels of the Central Coast, Hammer Sky Vineyards. It deserves to be on your bucket list.
Grape Encounters presents What We Heard Through the Grapevine. Today's top news, trends, and stories.
And I must say that wine lovers around the world would be so uninformed if it were not for the Grape Encounters news, which covers the stories that people really want to hear. And joining us now in the studio is our senior wine news correspondent, Larry Gifford. And Larry, we really got into that subject of the gas being stored in the salt caves near the Finger Lakes. You brought that story to our attention, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was amazing to begin with. And it seems to be ratcheting up week after week after week. So I'm glad you're still on this.
Seriously, we are going there with the Grape Encounters microphone. You can go and I will pay your way, but you have to carry a protest sign and be willing to get arrested.
Are you going
to
pay my bill?
No, those guys will pay it for us. They said they would on the air. Well, they said me.
You know what?
I will do this. I will deliver mail from your wife to you.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Okay.
I will consider it.
They said it's just kind of a slap on the wrist.
We are going to lighten things up, though.
Okay.
Because you know Valentine's Day is coming.
Yes. This is all hearts.
All heart.
Okay, go for
it. So spending is up across the U.S. Of the 62% of us who celebrate Valentine's Day, we will spend an average of $142 on our sweetheart, up from $133.
You cheap. I'm going to spend more than that on my sweetheart, for sure.
But you know why spending is up?
Why?
Because Valentine's Day falls on a Saturday. So the expectations of the dining and the wining and the dancing increases when it's on the weekend.
People spend more on the weekend.
Yeah. Because
they combine the Valentine budget with their weekend budget.
Exactly.
But how much of that money is going to be spent on wine? That's what we care about.
Well, we're going to get to that.
All right.
But before we spend it on wine, we're spending it on Fido.
What?
One in five of us spend $25 on Valentine's Day for our...
Oh, get out of here. That's not even legal to be in love with your pet.
But this year, $8.6 million will be spent on sparkling wines, making it the fourth biggest day for bubbly behind New Year's Eve, Christmas, and Thanksgiving.
I was hoping you'd let me guess what those 4 days would be.
What 4 days do you think they'd be?
I would say New Year's Eve, Christmas Day, and Thanksgiving.
I think you're right.
Okay. Yay! All right. Good. Okay.
Now, not everybody can spend money like David Wilson or wants to celebrate. And it seems like everybody under the sun is out with their big list of the best things to do for Valentine's Day under $25 or under $15 or for free. And so I've called it into my list of four. My four favorite things I saw online that are cheap ways to celebrate Valentine's
Day. All right. Number one.
Open a bottle of wine and attend a free YouTube cooking class.
What?
Yeah, so there's these cooking classes on YouTube. Just dial one up. Basically, if you open a bottle of wine and do anything, it's kind of a cheap night. So you could open a bottle of wine in a bath or take candles.
It's only a cheap night because of the wine that you buy, Larry.
You can play a board game. You can have fun.
$2 Gifford.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of going to your typical or favorite restaurant or bar, try someplace new. Do some research. Find a place that'll be fun to explore. Make some new memories. And to keep it thrifty, go to the fancy restaurant just for dessert.
So you're saying go to Denny's first and then go to some fancy place for dessert.
Sure. Why not?
Denny's makes a nice burger.
Yeah, he moons over my hammy, baby.
you know.
Number three. Go vineyard hopping. All 50 states in this great country.
You can't do all 50 states on one day.
No, but everybody could do a little day trip to a wine country, and taste some local wines and celebrate and explore and have some fun. The adventure of wine.
Fill up your propane tank.
That's right. And number four. For foodies, there's all sorts of creative, romantic treats.
And what would you do? You're a foodie.
Well, most of these can be made at home. Okay, listen to chocolate-covered jalapenos.
What?
Beer and pretzel.
What? Wait. Don't just say chocolate-covered jalapenos and then go on. Okay. And what would you pair that with?
I would pair that with a Cabernet or a Zin because of the spice.
You would.
Or you could do a white if you wanted to counteract
it. I'd pair it with milk.
Listen.
That's kill the pepper. Yeah, okay, great.
Beer and pretzel caramels.
That's good.
That's good. Bacon roses. So you you can make those at home. You just shape the bacon on a sheet pan like a rose, and you'd make a bunch of them. And
have you done that?
No, but I'm going to.
I could see you with these bacon roses on little skewers walking into the bedroom, waking up your wife and saying, Happy Valentine's Day,
she
honey.
She would love it. She's a big bacon fan.
Okay, all right.
Chocolate cupcakes made with rosé or zin. And then you could do fondue. You could use white wine and cheese for cheesy fondue, or dark chocolate and wort for a dessert fondue. So there's all sorts of great foods you can do. So those are some of the creative ways you can celebrate Valentine's Day.
And have you done most of these things?
I've not. Well, I mean, I kind of, I suppose, but not specifically for Valentine's Day, but we're going to pick one this year and do it.
Are you going to tell her ahead of time?
Should I?
Of course not.
Okay, I'll surprise her.
And you should get a good night's sleep on Friday night, and you should get up before her and go do this thing and then bring it to her in bed.
Oh, okay.
That's an order.
I will.
And by the way, I want to make some suggestions that if you're going to do breakfast in bed, first of all, don't have to do bubbly. One really good thing that you can do is you can take a Sauvignon Blanc, you can take a Chablis, you can take a Riesling and mix it with orange juice.
Really?
For a nice twist on a mimosa.
What do you call it?
You call it a mimosa.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you call it. You call it a Riesling mimosa.
Okay.
I think the Riesling mimosa kind of gets the best nod, but you know, you can use a dry Riesling, because if you use a sweet one, then you're getting the sweet from the orange juice, and you know, that's a little too much sweet.
All right.
It's too sweet.
A total of $448 million will be spent on candy.
All right. Here's all I have to say about any of this.
Yeah.
This is all out of balance. Any person that's receiving a Valentine's Day gift is probably going to prefer a good bottle of wine to a box of chocolate.
Yes.
Chocolate is so yesterday.
You think so?
Wine is so today.
Wine is today.
Yeah. So just get a couple of truffles to bite down on when you're drinking whatever wine you love. Okay. And leave it at that. And go out and spend the extra money on really good wine. And you know what? It sends a message to the chocolate makers. Stop making those stupid filled chocolates that people stick their finger in, realize that it's maple, and don't eat. Apparently, maple's very cheap.
So are the wise words of David. And so now you can follow Grape Encounters News on Twitter, at Wine News Guy.
I know that. So cool.
Yeah. So at Wine News Guy. Follow me, and I'll be posting wine news stories throughout the week.
So you've just split off on your own.
No, I'm promoting you.
Yeah, this, but now you're the Wine News Guy.
Do you like that?
Let's just call you the Wine News Guy from here on
okay,
out.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, instead of Chief Wine News Correspondent. And now, the Wine News Guy, Lawrence Gifford. Guess what I'm going to be doing on Valentine's Day?
Tell me.
I'm going to be serving lovers wine at the Grape Encounters Emporium. So Valentine's Day for my wife and I is going to be on Sunday.
Okay. What are you going to do?
We're going to probably lay in bed all day after being up late that night, making everybody else happy. But you know what? It's my pleasure and my privilege. And it's also my privilege to say, that's the news for today, Larry.
That is the news as we see it. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. And we're signing off with Grape Encounters. And I'm going to come over there and give you a little Valentine's peck on the cheek.
Ooh.
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
You never know what part of the country or the world the Grape Encounters microphones will take you to. Don't miss a single experience. Your Grape Encounter isn't over. We're just taking a breather until next week's edition.
Yeah.